Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, if there's one complaint that is so common in our high-tech, fast-paced world, it is that we're just too busy. We're always tired. We can't slow down. Could it be, though, that from the beginning, God has given an antidote to that whole problem called this interesting word, the Sabbath? Kerry White Kent is the author of Rest, Living in Sabbath Simplicity. She's with us now to explore this notion of the Sabbath, this one day off a week that we can actually have to recalibrate and refresh and indeed relate to God as well. G'day, Kerry. Welcome to Open House.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
Let's explore first this concept of the Sabbath, and then I want to move into how we can kind of practice it today. So firstly, give me a definition, particularly going into the coast, the Hebrew root of this word Sabbath, or Sabbat as the actual Hebrew word is. Explain what it is to us.
Well, the Hebrew word simply means to stop. God said, work hard and engage in your life and the work I've given you for 6 days, and then one day a week, stop and rest. And it's really a gift, I think, from our loving God. He says, take a day where you just focus on God, your relationships with other people, refresh yourself physically and spiritually. I really see it as a gift. It's a way to enjoy God.
It's really interesting, isn't it, that when God gives Moses his 10 little rules for the world, he actually includes stopping and resting as one of those rules.
And you'd think we wouldn't need someone to tell us.
Yes.
You have to stop. You have to rest. But if you look at our culture, it's obviously we need to be told to stop, and we don't.
Yeah,
we think we have to be 24/7.
There's something about that hyperculture that seems to grab us and take us hold. So Jesus arrives on the scene some hundreds of years after the Ten Commandments were given, with that original directive to stop one day a week. Let's talk about Jesus' understanding of the Sabbath. What did he call it?
Well, he also engaged in it, but he said, this is a day that's made for us, and we're not made for it. We don't have to be slaves to this law. In fact, when it was first given, it was given to people who used to be slaves. And in fact, when God gave them the commandment, he said, keep the Sabbath because you used to be slaves, which meant you couldn't have a day off.
Mm.
And so now you have a day off. And Jesus said, it's not about the external rules. It's about the heart of it. And so he would do things like heal on the Sabbath. People who had grown up in the Jewish tradition and were around him said, well, that's wrong.
Mm.
You can't do that. And his whole focus on Sabbath seemed to be about restoring relationship and bringing people back into relationship with God. You know, a lot of times he would heal people. And when people in Jesus' culture suffered a physical ailment, they were sometimes excluded from the life of the synagogue. They were excluded from the community. And so when he would heal them, he would bring them back into community, back into relationship. It's a day for restoring relationship with God and
yes.
people.
It's really important, actually, we keep that in mind, isn't it? Just what actually Jesus himself did on the Sabbath. Therefore, Christians believe he is our model. And so he didn't kind of, you know, cease all activity altogether. He was still more than happy to heal people, release demons from people. He taught on the Sabbath. He also rested.
He did rest. There's a great passage in the first couple chapters of Mark. It shows us how busy Jesus was. I think sometimes we think Jesus wasn't very busy. He just kind of wandered around talking about sheep and mustard seeds and things, and we don't think he was that busy. But the Gospel of Mark keeps saying, immediately Jesus did this, and immediately Jesus did this. And there's this passage in Mark where he goes to the synagogue and heals someone at the synagogue after he's teaching, and then he goes back to the home of Mary and Martha. And then it says, that evening after sunset. So there's this gap. What did he do then? And I think he rested then. After sunset was when the Sabbath was over.
Mm.
Jesus may have, who knows, he could have taken a nap. He maybe just hung around with his disciples and just enjoyed their company. He rested. Over and over it says, you know, Jesus goes off into solitude, or he does spend time in rest as well. So he modeled that for us.
Yeah, so we've got this idea that the Sabbath is a day that we stop doing our work. We stop. But we're not to hold it legalistically. We can still do good things for people. We can still, there's a whole realm of things that we can actually do. But the main thing is we stop, we be with God, and we be with each other. Now, the
right.
Bible also tells us to keep the Sabbath day holy. What does that mean, do you think, today?
Well, holy means different or set apart. One of the things I do just to keep it different is I don't turn on my computer. And all of a sudden I'm less frazzled, for one thing. I'm also available to the people around me, and I can notice God in the world. Sometimes if I'm focused on my email and my work and everything on the computer, then I forget to take a look around me and notice the beauty of the world, God at work in the world. A holy day is a day set apart, and we want to focus it on God. If we're not too busy, we might have time to listen to somebody who really needs to talk, or we might have time to just spend time with our kids. One of the things we do in our house, my kids are teenagers, but we play board games, and oftentimes I'm surprised at how much my kids will enjoy doing that with me. They want to play Monopoly or Dominoes or something like that, and that is time that's set apart and is holy.
Kerry White-Kent is our guest on Open House. She's the author of Rest, Living in Sabbath Simplicity. We're talking about this notion of the Sabbath, the day off that God gives us as a bit of a gift, saying, stop, rest, look at me, listen to me, have some time with each other, enjoy the day, just stop working. This is a gift to you. Theopenhouse.net.au is the place you'll find the podcast if you want to pass this on to a friend during the week. Okay, Kerry, let's move into the whole idea of kind of practicing the Sabbath today, how we might go about it. Now, we've talked about the Jewish roots of the Sabbath, where it came from. Now, if we're going to talk about that, we also need to start just, we need to at least passing by talk about the day that it's happened to, because, of course, the Sabbath for the Jews started on a Friday night and was a Saturday. In fact, it still continues to be for modern-day Jews as well. Then the Christians came along and decided to turn it into the Sunday to signify Jesus' resurrection. But, of course, there's the Seventh-day Adventists, etc., who actually hold to Saturday as the Sabbath. Does the day matter in your mind?
That's a big question. I have a whole chapter or a whole section in the book where I talk about how calendars have evolved. A lot of times I've gotten people who've, you know, come up to me and said, well, God said it should be Saturday. And I said, you show me the verse where it says it should be Saturday, because Saturday was not even invented when, in Genesis, God rested on the seventh day of the week. Early Christians did the Sabbath on the seventh day of the week, and then the first day of the week to commemorate Christ's resurrection, they celebrated Sabbath, but it was also the Lord's Day, they called it, the Lord's Day, but it was a work day for them in that culture. So they would go to like an early morning service and then go to work. So the practice evolved over time. What I think is important for somebody who's just considering the possibility that they could actually take a day off, if you get hung up on the day, that can sometimes be a barrier to actually trying to rest. So I would say seek God and say, which day, or should I just begin by saying, I have to stop one day, and let that be your first thing. I think it's a journey. You know, I write about different things that we do in our family as far as what we don't do and what we do on Sabbath. And I warn people, don't try to do exactly the same things I've done after 10 years of working at this, 10 years of trying it, practicing it. Take one step at a time. To get hung up on the day is not a good idea for the first step.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, so if we move on from that then to start saying, okay, should we prepare? Should we in some way look ahead and say, well, whatever day we choose, sometimes I say I work on a Sunday, so for me actually Monday is kind of my rest day in many, many ways.
It is for many pastors.
That's
right.
Yeah.
Eugene Peterson, translator of the Message translation and great pastor for 30 years, used to take his Sabbath on Monday because he had to be there and work and be a pastor and do the main work that he was doing on a Sunday. And so he and his wife would take a day of rest and recreation on Monday.
Yeah, because I find that when I get to Monday, often I'm very, very tempted to fire up the computer and work on that article that's due or reply to all of those work emails or whatever it might be. And so sometimes I find that I get to Monday and I actually haven't prepared as to what I am going to do. Give me some pointers, some tips on how we can prepare to actually have that full day.
Well, even in biblical times, they called the day before the Sabbath preparation day. In your household, you may, we always try to get the house cleaned up so that we don't have to clean on Sundays or whatever day you're taking off. Having food or something in the house so you don't have to run out to, oh, I just got to run to the grocery and get a few things, you know, thinking ahead as far as that goes. Even having some sort of, I hate to use the word ritual, but like if you're going to say Monday, you talked about Monday being your day off. Mm. In the Bible, Sabbath goes from sundown to sundown. So it's actually from, for you, like it would be Sunday evening to Monday evening.
Now, I've already broken it because I'm here on a Sunday night, but yes, we can work around that. Yes, keep on going.
Yeah, okay, so even if it's later, how about saying, okay, now I'm shutting down the computer and I am entrusting the work that's on there to God and leaving it. And I'm going to trust that God can take care of it until I come back Tuesday morning or whatever. And saying, okay, what are the things that would distract me? And taking care of those things ahead of time. Sometimes, for a housewife or, you know, a mom at home with children, it might be doing some laundry ahead of time, some cleaning ahead of time, so that then you don't have to do it. Thinking about the things that you would be tempted to do and doing them ahead of time, so then you have the freedom not to do them.
I like that. I like that. Look ahead and see the things that might actually distract you from having a full day of rest with God and actually doing them ahead of time. Yeah, I like that. I'll take that. Yes. I'll just scribble that one down there. Thank you very much, Karen. Scribble that one down. Okay, so we're preparing ahead for the day.
Yes.
Now, when we get to the day, we've talked about some of the things, you know, to try and avoid doing, i.e. work. That's the whole point of it. What can we do? I mean, you can't sit in your lounge room and twiddle your thumbs.
Yeah, no, I don't think that you should. Well, some people actually like that, but some might enjoy it. I think anything that's, and Mark Buchanan says this beautifully in one of his books about the Sabbath, anything that's not necessary, you can do. Anything that's not necessary. And anything that's not your normal work. For example, I'm a writer, and so I work on the computer. So, I shut my computer off. Now, I do not work out of doors. My normal job is not out of doors. And so on Sabbath, part of what I do is get outside because I like being out of doors. I like puttering in my garden. And if I worked as a gardener or landscaper, I wouldn't garden on Sundays because that would be my normal work. But it's not my normal work, and I find it kind of relaxing. Now, I don't do heavy lifting out there in the garden. I'll just out there sort of playing around, you know, it's what's playful. Ask yourself, you know, if you could do something that was fun and enjoyable, what would it be? And I think it's so important to realize, if you say, oh, I really wish I could do this Sabbath thing, to take it one step at a time and see it as a journey. And what I recommend to people is pick one thing that you would like to refrain from and one thing you would like to engage in.
Mm-hmm.
And this Sunday or whenever, do those two things. Like, I don't love doing laundry, so that's an
funny
easy
that.
One. I don't know anybody who does, but so I just say, all right, I would like to refrain from laundry or housework or checking my email. Is you have a sort of compulsion to do it, that might be a good thing to refrain from
mm-hmm,
as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that maybe you want to say, I'm going to just enjoy having conversation with a friend or a spouse. I'm going to put on a worship CD, and I'm just going to, like, worship God, because I don't have time to do that sort of thing during the week, but I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Now, if that sounds like not fun, you know, that sounds like pulling teeth to you, don't do it. You know, figure out another way. I always spend part of my day out of doors on Sabbath because I see God there.
Yeah.
I go into church, but then I come outside and I'm outside.
This is Open House Across the Nation. Kerry White Kent is the author of Rest, Living in Sabbath Simplicity. I'd be interested to know your thoughts, 1-300-40-2020, as to how you've incorporated into your life and your week a full day off to just rest and be with God and be with other people. 1-300-40-2020 is my number. Let's incorporate that aspect of God into this, because it's not just simply to rest. It's
no,
not just
it's
simply
not just a day to chill out. It's
not just
really
simply
not.
For play. That's right. It's actually for worship and actually for prayer as well. Now, obviously,
yeah.
for most people, this day will be the Sunday. That makes sense. And this is the day where we gather with other people to worship God and to be with God together. But it's not just for that 1 hour on a Sunday morning, too. How can we incorporate God into all of these restful, Sabbath-like activities we're going to do?
Well, I think if we slow down a little bit, we can ask ourselves, where am I noticing the work of God around me? What am I noticing if you have children, you know, where are they growing and changing? Where do I need to pray for them? What challenges are they facing? Even noticing your neighbors and taking some time to talk to your neighbors. And, you know, Jesus said, love your neighbors. That can be an opportunity to do that. My next door neighbor has a front porch on her house, and we'll sit out there sometimes on Sunday afternoon and just talk.
Mm.
If you don't know your neighbors, it's really hard to love them. So
yeah.
That might be just noticing where God is at work And I think sometimes we're so busy we rush past it.
Yeah, you mentioned Eugene Peterson before. When we had him on the show a little while ago, he talked about how important this idea of having a Sabbath has actually been for him and his wife over the years.
Yeah.
And I think from memory, what he actually said was something along the lines of, for 6 days of the week, God is looking at you and what you're doing. Just take one day out of the week to stop, look at him and what he's doing.
Yes.
Which is a lovely thing.
That's huge, just noticing what's, and when we slow down, we can do that. The other thing that we have to do, and when you were talking about Eugene Peterson, I read some things that he, and some interviews that he had done. When he was a pastor, he told his congregation, look, I'm not going to set up committee meetings and other things that sometimes churches do on Sundays so that you can come and worship and then you can rest.
Mm.
He said, but what I'm asking you is, unless it's an emergency, don't call me on Monday. That's my Sabbath.
Hmm.
He only got like maybe one call in 30 years, right? But he was willing to admit that he was not invincible.
Yeah.
He was willing to admit he needed rest. And I think that's what blocks a lot of us, is that if we take a day off, what it means to us is we admit that we're fallible human beings and we need time to rest.
That is so true, isn't it? We really do believe that the world will stop if we stop, because we are so important. And if we don't do all
this, it's humbling to say, you know, what are you doing today? You know, nothing. When I say that to people, they go, really? Like, are you okay with that?
Yeah.
You know? Because I admit the world does not spin on my, you know, running.
Look, is there something about, I just think about those original commandments that God gave Moses, those Ten Commandments, the Sabbath being one of them. But the earlier two, one was that the Lord our God was to be our God, no other God. We weren't to make any images or anything like that. And I just wonder if this idea of God giving us a full day off to make sure we stop, focus on him, rest, enjoy, pleasure, play, all of those kinds of things, but still have him at the center of it. I wonder whether those commandments are actually connected to the first of not having any other God before us. I actually wonder whether a good deal of us worship busyness, and indeed maybe beyond that, we actually worship materialism because we're busy to actually achieve something, earn something, make something, build something. And so it's actually to stop us falling into idolatry.
And even self-idolatry, like, I'm so important, you know, that I can't stop.
Mm.
Yeah, I definitely think, and I write about this in Rest, the Sabbath command comes right in the middle between the ones that are focused on God and the ones that are focused on our actions, like don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't, you know, lie. And it's right in the middle, and I think it's the hinge between the two of if God is in his proper place, then we're in our proper place. Like, if we have the right perspective toward God. If we don't worship any other gods, then Sabbath is really actually quite easy. But if we worship the God of busyness and our own accomplishments, Sabbath becomes very difficult.
Yeah, and we get destroyed in the meantime. Well, it's been fascinating talking to you, Kerry. There's still going to be some people who actually say, look, this whole idea of stopping for one full day, I'm just too busy. Look, you've got to understand, I've got really busy family commitments, work commitments, I'm on call, I'm a doctor, whatever it might be. What's your final word to the person who really admits, look, I am a bit of a workaholic, for good reasons or bad,
yeah.
And I'm finding this whole idea very, very difficult to really, really, truly commit to? What's your final word to them?
That kind of person should take a look at every day and say, do you really work 24/7? Because I think sometimes, just out of necessity, we'll stop for a little while in each day. Hopefully we sleep sometimes. Rather than having little tiny pockets of rest, let yourself work as hard as you can for 6 days, but then give yourself a day off and just try it. Try it as I dare you to try this. Because you will find that you actually get more done. They did studies years ago on efficiency as far as like factory workers, and they found people who had a day off were more efficient and more productive than people who worked straight through.
Mm.
I have found this to be true in my own life.
Me too.
I get so much more done when I take a day off. It's a surprising truth. You know, you think you're going to get less done and have to catch up. You actually get much more done after a day of rest.
Yeah, I've certainly found that to be the case too. And I'm much more balanced as well. I'm very rarely balanced anyway, Kerry, but you know, as balanced as I can be.
And that's a constant battle.
It is. Kerry, it's great to talk to you. Thanks for your time tonight.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, Kerry Wyatt Kent, author of Rest, Living in Sabbath Simplicity, talking about this notion of the Sabbath, this gift that God gives us. It's not to earn our way into his favor, to make ourselves in some way acceptable to him. It's a gift that he gives us. Remember those words of Jesus. the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And if you want to know more, sabbathsimplicity.com is Kerry's website, sabbathsimplicity.com.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.